You're listening to the Junction Church Aberdeen podcast. Welcome to this week's message. We pray it inspires and blesses you today.
But I might change the title, I think, to The Red Carpet. The Red Carpet. It's because of something. I mentioned it in Discover. It's something that Pastor Dave Gilpin, who's the husband of Jenny, who's coming over to minister in the conference. Dave said on social media, he said a few things about the presence of God recently. And he said this: the presence of God is the red carpet to the purpose of God. Quite profound, isn't it? It's because very often in a church, and certainly in this church context, where God is doing so many wonderful things and the presence of the Lord is deeply profound, isn't it? It's like the Lord is doing something precious and his presence comes in. But understand this, that his presence is for purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
But his presence is the red carpet that leads us into his purpose. Now, I want to show you this morning the beauty of the red carpet as the Lord leads us through his purpose, through his presence, into his purpose and what he wants to do in your life. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13 says this: for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. A deeply profound portion of scripture upon which we can't spend enough time looking at. You could spend many weeks just looking at these portions of scripture, but I want to try and race through it this morning. And I want us to understand, when God spoke a blessing, he spoke over Abraham something so profound. He spoke to break the curse of constrainment, the curse of sin that sits upon the world. He spoke to create a line of blessing that is accessed by faith. Well, Abraham is in the Bible is the father of faith, and we are all, as it were, the scripture says, children of Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was the first one to, as written within the Bible, not the first one as of to believe in God, for there were the fathers before, but Abraham is the one who sets the tone upon which the promise of Israel, the promise of redemption, the promise of salvation, Abraham believed in God. And that sets forth this faith that all of us, when we believe in the Lord, we take those same steps Abraham took. Yeah. All right? Yeah. So when God spoke a blessing to Abraham, because the Bible says he is father to us all, the blessings that are his then become the blessing that are ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's a scriptural promise. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, he said, with blessing, I will bless you. Now, let me just find this again. Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so when the Lord spoke, the Bible says that God spoke an oath, and an oath is something very, very powerful. A vow is what we make. We make vows to God. You make a vow to God, which is something you say to the Lord: this is what I'm going to do. An oath is a legal statement by which, if he doesn't fulfill the oath, he's no longer God. I spoke about this last week. All right. So if God doesn't fulfill his oath, then he's no longer God. But we know he is God. So far, so good. right? So far, God has kept his word, right? And so he is continuing to speak his word over our lives. Now, the interesting thing about the Hebrew word about the oath, it means to fulfill, to satisfy. And it also represents the number seven, which uses the same consonants. And seven is the work of perfection. So when God spoke an oath, the oath itself was perfect, right? And will be fulfilled. All right? Now, the Lord spoke over to Abraham, and it's a blessing that enables you to walk within the kingdom of God rather than the nature of this world. Yeah. Understand that? We know what it's like living in this world. You're constantly wrestling with the natural circumstances that happens around us. But there is a higher law, the law of your faith, that is through the kingdom of God. And that higher law enables you to live in his blessing and his promises for his purposes. It doesn't mean to say that you won't struggle with the things of this world. The Bible says that Abraham, having endured, received the promise. In other words, we live in both worlds. The Bible says Peter writes that we are sojourners. We are traveling through. So we are sojourners. Or in the Bible that I grew up with, that we were aliens. I liked that one. And I always thought that my brothers were the aliens. And so we are ones who are passing through, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And the reason why we're not of it is because we have been adopted by the Lord and we have been translated from one place to another to receive the blessings that he has got for your life. Now listen, the perfection of God is such that he wants us to understand that this oath becomes an anchor point upon which everything that he's called you to do is applicable and shall be done. Yeah. Right? It's an anchor point. The Bible says, upon this hope. Now, hope is a precious thing because hope is not something that you wish for. Right? You might, your birthday might be coming up and you hope. Right? Cheryl writes me when it's her birthday, which is in July, just, you know. And she generally starts reminding people a couple of months before. So when it's her birthday, she will go through a list of things that she would like, right? It's her wish list, the things that she would hope for, but not the hope that we have in the kingdom of God. Hebrews 11, that faith is the substance, all right? Faith is of things hoped for. So there is a different kind of hope, and that hope is a sure foundation. It is an anchor which the Lord has set, right? So we set our anchor. This is first and foremost, in the presence of God, we set our anchor on the promise that God will bless you and multiply you, cause advantage to come over your life, right? Bless you. Multiply, you cause a blessing to come significantly over every part of your life. Now, this is important because what happens is as we enter into the presence of God, we come into this place where we begin to see that the hope which is in the Word of God, if God has spoken it. I didn't bring my Bible this morning, which is it's a shame. I need my. Who's actually got a Bible? You look like you've got a Bible. Is that your Bible? No, it's a notebook. Here's a Bible. Wow, gosh.
No chance.
I can read Kings. I'm not even preaching from Kings. Here we go. Right. Right. Here we go. Here's the Bible. Right. Oh, it's the one I can read.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah, I can read this one. Right. Right. We've got two Bibles, two immutable things. Right. The Bible contains the promises of God, right? The full word, the inspired word of God, right? Let's establish some theological frameworks by which one cannot argue. The word of God cannot be changed, right? Yeah. It is his promise. And the reason why it can't be changed is because it is his promises made to man through all generations for salvation, right? The Bible says in John's gospel that the word, who is Jesus Christ, became flesh, right? So the word isn't just a word spoken, it's the word of who he is, right? So here is the word of God, and the word has been spoken as a blessing. And so the word is fully wrapped in all words, right? So when God says, with blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you with an oath, the whole word of God, all that's in the scripture in stereo, all that's in scripture is wrapped up in every word, right? Because it is the word which is spoken by God, right? Right. So the word has been spoken. The word is full of promise and full of power. How many of you have read the word and gone, that's powerful, that's beautiful, but it's not working in my life? Right? Now, we know that the word of God is beautiful. We know that the word is powerful. But for the word to become active, there must be a transaction in your life. Let me communicate. Yeah, there we go. Before I forget. Whose Bible was it? Oh, that was your Bible. Thank you. Here we go. So, the word, for the word to become part of your life, you must enter into a transaction, right? A transaction is an exchange of something of you that is transacted so that the oath becomes applicable to your life. It becomes part of who you are. Right. Not just an oath that is spoken for all mankind. This is now an oath that is mine, right? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, it says this, ho. I think it's the only time the word ho is used. You can imagine just standing there. You're just going to start reading, ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and your soul, let your soul delight itself in abundance. Right? So there is an exchange where the Lord wants to pour out for you the plans and purposes of God. He wants to pour out upon you an abundance. The abundance doesn't come without hard work, by the way. Yeah. Like the basic principle, Lord, I need a boat. There's a lot, I've given it to you. It's that tree over there. Right? The Lord, you're praying for something. The Lord's given to you. You've got to cut the tree down. You've got to make the boat. I don't know how to make a boat. Yeah, you've got to work that one out. Right? But the Lord's with you, so he's going to show you how. Yeah. Right? So this is how the principle of the kingdom of God works. There is an abundance which the Lord wants you to live in. But for that abundance, you've got to make an exchange. And in that exchange, you've got to buy something that costs you, that does not come with money or with price. Mm-hmm. Well, what is that purchase then? And how do I purchase it? Because you can't purchase it with your good works.
Yeah.
Right? Your works represent money. Mm-hmm. Right? The same as you all went out to work at some point, and if you didn't go out to work or you're retired, then your retirement is a collection of the work that you did, and you're now living off that, right? So you went out to work and you received a wage, and the wage represents your work. So the money always equals the labors of your life, right? So the Bible says you've got to purchase, you've got to create, you've got to make a purchase, but you can't use your labors because your good works are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is what I said. Was that last week or the? Yes. So not by your might or by your power, but by the confession of your mouth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession unto salvation. Here's the extraordinary power of the kingdom. The Lord says, all I need is for you to confess Jesus Christ. You confess the word, who is Jesus Christ. You confess him, and he becomes the oath that is spoken over your life. You've made a transaction. You've said, I'm no longer living my life my way with my intent, with my ability. No, I'm going to live God's way. Yeah. I'm going to live for him, for his plans and for his purposes. Yeah. And I'm going to lay down what is my ability. I'm going to lay that down and I'm going to confess Jesus Christ and live for him. Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Right? So a transaction has taken place. And I've confessed the Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, there's an exchange.
Yeah.
Anything that you are believing God for, I want you to understand there are things which you hope in a natural sense takes place. You've got to learn to hope on the promise, which is the supernatural hope, which produces a substance called faith.
Yeah.
Right? How do you do that transaction? The first thing is you do this. What's in my heart? What does my heart tell me? As I believe, Lord, I believe in you. The first thing you do is not what's in your mind, because your mind's naughty, isn't it? Your mind's very naughty. You can think one thing, you can think a glorious thought 1 minute and a terrible one a second later, can't you? We all know that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from me. All my thoughts are pure, aren't they, Cheryl? Right. So we know that our mind has trouble playing tricks on us, and our mind has habits. Your mind's lazy.
Yeah.
All right, your mind is lazy, and the lazy mind naturally gears towards the things in which it is used to thinking.
Yeah.
Things that have been spoken over you, even from childhood, common things. Things which have been spoken against you. Things which you've processed. Things which you've said about yourself because of heartache and failure and conclusions, ungodly beliefs that you've created because of the circumstances of your life. Those things play on repeat. And they don't need much of an opportunity to go, told you so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your heart will tell you something different based on what the Holy Spirit. So when you confess with your mouth what your heart knows is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Jesus Christ is true. If I confess him, the confession of my mouth gives power to the belief that is in my heart. And it creates a momentum of confession which shifts everything in our life. Now, listen. I want you to see this. See, God made an oath. And that oath that Christ made, when you confess him, Christ does something supernatural. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Right? I want you to see this. I need you, if we've got a little bit of time, dare I go into some more just theological things, right? For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands. He's talking to the Jews, he's writing to the Hebrews, and he's saying he hasn't entered into the temple that is in Jerusalem. He's entered into the temple, the tabernacle that is in heaven. Now think about this. Before the creation of the world, God made a tabernacle where there is a holy of holies and a place of redemption for the salvation of mankind that is yet to betray him. And he's built this tabernacle in heaven in which there is no sin to receive the sacrifice of a sinless man that he may execute the judgment of blessing for his creation. Wow. And redeem them back into glory just when they think all is lost.
Yeah. Wow.
So he's created a plan of salvation, a temple, a place of worship, a place of purity and holiness. In a place where there is no sin, he's built a place for sin offering.
Wow.
In heaven. Not on earth. In heaven. And all the time, this tabernacle in the heavens is there in the heavens. Man is on earth following the copy that God has given to them. See, he's given them a copy so to see whether they can work out where the clues are. And then they come and they sacrifice the lamb who represents Jesus Christ, the innocent blood of the lamb. And they sacrifice the lamb and then they would take the offering and they take it into the inner court. And they would stretch the priest would the high priest would stretch out his hands and say, it is finished. Right.
Yeah.
And that was a declaration of the sacrifice that man would make, but it never redeemed man because it was an animal.
Yeah. Mm.
But Jesus Christ, when he was upon the cross and he's hanging upon the cross, Jesus Christ, who is not only the Lamb, but he's the great high priest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's hanging on the cross, and as the blood is pouring out upon him, he declares, it is finished.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that which a man has been saying for thousands of years, Jesus Christ says once and for all,
yeah,
that it's finished.
Yeah.
And he becomes the Lamb and the great high priest.
Yeah.
Now listen, because he is the high priest who has shed his blood, now he comes and appears before the presence of God for us. Now look, you've got to see this. Seeing then, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Sorry, I'm just shouting scriptures without even telling you where I'm going. Who's on the computer, by the way? Who's over there? Is it? Oh, it's Lily. Oh, that's all right. She can keep up. Right. She's too intelligent, too quick. Right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Ooh. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, you want to understand, when you make a confession of Jesus Christ, you declare that he is Lord of your life. You are declaring something which empowers an oath which Jesus takes as your high priest into the Holy of Holies in the heavens, and he stands before the Father and he declares your name. He declares your name. He speaks it out. He declares, he says, you know that Jim Strachan, the one who lives in Aberdeen but sounds like he's from Yorkshire? He says, I'm speaking on behalf of Jim. Yeah, yeah, the one with the fluffy white hair. That's the one. I'm speaking on behalf of Jim, and I'm declaring that there is an oath which you spoke over Abraham, which he confessed. That oath now stands before him. This is Jesus.
Yeah.
He's speaking to the Father. Mm. There is an interaction between Christ and the Father. There is no no.
Mm.
There is no, let's have a talk about that one. When Christ comes before the Father with your name, he comes and declares what it is that you have confessed. And he stands before it and he declares, this belongs to you. We have a great high priest, one who has walked upon the earth, who has resisted the sin that has encapsulated all of us, and he set us free by his blood. We are not constrained or held back. And taking that victory into the heavenly realm, he stands and he mocks the demonic as he declares, "We are liberated and set free. For man shall not be held by sin again. He shall not be constrained by the works of curse and wickedness. For you shall arise and stand in a glorious place with the Lord's hand of blessing upon you. Every curse is broken, Gabriella. Every curse is broken, Corinth. Every curse is broken. Every curse is broken off your life. For the Lord has not just spoken a word. He's interceding for you before the Father. Our great high priest who carries us. Let's stand up, shall we?
Thank you for joining us today. For information about The Junction Church, please visit thejunctionchurch.com. Have a great week.